It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18+. Without further ado, welcome back to the 55 KRC Morning Show's Councilwoman Betsy Sunderman. It's good to have you on, Betsy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I hope you can say the same.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so we've been through this Wendell Young thing. You're responsible for the charter amendment that was overwhelmingly approved by the voters that gave you in council the right to vote to suspend any council member under federal indictment. You went through that exercise. That vote failed. It was, who was it? Smitherman and who else?
Gooden.
Who was it?
Steve Gooden.
Gooden. I'm sorry. Steve, you're out there. I apologize. So Smitherman and Gooden vote no. And I think politically they were hoping that the Supreme Court would resolve this and suspend Wendell Young on their own. That didn't happen. They said no, he can finish out his term. Now, I scratch my head over the reasoning behind that. I don't know or care, but that was the final outcome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I heard lots of different reasons. They were talking about the Gang of Five shouldn't be voting. And, you know, I think it's if the Gang of Five wants to vote out one of their own, why shouldn't they be allowed to do that?
No, I listen, the conflict of interest thing I don't think existed except for Wendell Young himself. Wendell Young was the only guy I thought had a conflict because of the, Seelbach. Seelbach was the only one that had a conflict because of his, of course, that would give him the right to select Wendell Young's replacement. But it's all academic now because unless you disagree with the predictions of Vice Mayor Smitherman, and I think if you ask Wendell Young directly, are you planning on stepping down? The answer is going to be no or hell no.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you think Seelbach had a conflict being able to appoint, the vote and the appointment are two completely different legal mechanisms. So you could let him vote on it, and then if he's going to replace Wendell, you could then file some kind of injunction to stop that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there is a conflict there. I think he should be able to appoint the replacement, but I'm saying
it's academic.
No conflict with the vote.
It's academic.
You should still object to the appointment. Yeah.
But we're having an academic discussion because he's not suspended. So this Seelbach is not engaged in the process. It's just status quo on Cincinnati City Council. I don't know. What do you think of the optics on that? I mean, we're not exactly a shining star in the nation in terms of the makeup of council and the level of corruption that we all are facing.
Yeah, I mean, we look horrible. We've looked horrible the whole time I've been there. It's been so embarrassing to work at City Hall. Every time I run into someone I haven't seen for a while, they say, are you really working down there? Why are you working down there? I mean, usually when you get a new job, people say, hey, I heard about your new job.
Congratulations, right?
And everyone says, are you going to get out of there? That sounds terrible. I'm like, that's great. I mean,
well,
I mean, it's like, I always tell people, it's like when I used to live in a condo and I was on the condo association, it kind of feels like that. Like, you're the most hated people in the building because no one ever is pleased with anything. All you do is get complaints all the time. That city council is just a big condo association.
Okay. And you know what? That's a fair parallel because I guess I was going to ask you, do you feel as though the working relationship with the members of council is dysfunctional to the point where it just isn't not a functioning body effectively? Or is it just that the folks on council are the recipients of just a bunch of people complaining about whatever happens to be on their complaint list?
I mean, the current council, I think, is easy to work with.
Okay.
The council a year ago was very difficult to work with. I mean, a year ago, PG was kind of trying to run council. He was kind of already acting like the mayor.
Yeah.
And it caused a lot of fights. I mean, he would announce, like, we are all going to vote like this, and all the Democrats are going to do this. And very often, the mayor would have to say, you're not the mayor. I'm the mayor. Stop acting like the mayor.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really bad. And there was lots of division. You know, there were, like, the Gang of Five, and then there was, like, these other outsiders, including me.
Yeah.
But now, it's much better. I mean, I get along with Seelbach. I get along with Lantzman. I mean, I get along with the people I'm supposed to not get along with.
So, Betsy, it sounds to me like the scrutiny that has been placed upon the city of Cincinnati in the aftermath of the corruption has resulted in a better functioning body of government.
Yeah, I mean, having a bunch of appointed people, I think, is working better than having a bunch of indicted people. I know we get a lot of crap for being appointed. Well, only those of us, only the Republicans get crap for being appointed. I've never heard anyone complain about Jan Michelle Kearney being appointed. Like, her votes are valid, but ours are not for some reason.
Well,
so I don't know, but it's definitely a more pleasant environment to work in.
Good.
And I feel like I can go to any council member now and actually discuss issues. And I didn't feel like that a year ago.
Good. Well, I'll tell you what, on that note, we'll pause and bring it back because, you know, we're in the middle of budget season. And I don't know if you saw the word out of Columbus, but the Senate passed its $75 billion budget. And there's a line item in there that should probably bring some great concern to the members of. I don't know if you saw this. The Senate in the state of Ohio has figured out its budget. The House passed its previously. My recollection of the breakdown was that the House bill has a retroactive refund of the earnings tax to January of 2021. The Senate's version, however, allows a retroactive refund all the way back to last year. So when the lockdowns kicked in and people stayed at home, clearly they weren't working within the city limits, at least a lot of them. The taxes continued to come out and go into the coffers of the city of Cincinnati. What happens if the Senate version passes and you have to retroactively refund all the way back to last year, Betsy?
We are screwed.
That's what Smitherman said, I think verbatim.
Oh, well, he's right. I agree with him. I mean, we would be so screwed. I mean, our entire operating budget is $400 million. And just from COVID this past year, I don't know what the final numbers were. They were estimating we were going to be down $40 or $60 million for income tax. I mean, if we have to refund $100 million of earnings tax, I mean, I don't know how you cut $100 million from a $400 million budget. I mean, I guess there are two options. Either we would have to do mass layoffs, or we'd have to borrow a ton of money. But I mean, you have to pay that back, and that's expensive to pay back.
Oh, yeah. Well, Betsy, I asked Smitherman.
I mean, knowing the Democrats on council, I'm assuming we'd pick the borrow money debt route.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
I, you know, maybe a combination of the two, lay off a bunch of people, and I mean,
yeah, this
is, everybody knows, you know, half of our budget, not a half, but a little less than half of our budget goes to police and fire. So, of course, we'd have to lay off some police and fire, which, you know, the unions will be all over that and try to prevent that, which would make us probably have to cut a lot of other stuff people like.
Well, it could impact our bond rating. I mean, yeah, that's going to be a problem that's over the entire country, but whether or not others are struggling with the same kind of phenomenon, but at least across the state, because every municipality that collected its income tax or earnings tax is going to be in the same position. So this is going to be a spilling over problem. But I guess I'm thinking, and Smitherman also said you'd have to borrow it. And that's a amount comparable to what we borrowed for that streetcar. I mean, that's $100 million. It's not a small, paltry sum.
Right. I mean, that's why we need a big savings account. If we're responsible, we put money into a savings account, like a rainy day fund.
How about that coronavirus money you have, Betsy? Isn't there enough there to cover perhaps having to refund all this?
I mean, we already doled it all out, right?
I mean, I know. That's why I asked the question, Betsy.
The problem is, if we do let's say we had this giant savings account and then we get a whole new city council and mayor in November, they could just blow the savings account in their first month. I mean, there's no accountability. There's no rule saying you have to keep the savings account ongoing. I mean, maybe we should make a law that says you have to have X percentage of your operating funds in a savings account or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A rainy day fund mandated deposit. I hear you. The equitable person to me, the fairness person to me, the justification for the tax analysis to me suggests that it should be retroactively refunded. But I am not so callous as to fail to appreciate the epic, epic pain it's going to bring on the city of Cincinnati. So we'll have to wait and see with our popcorn out as to what happens. Betsy, let me leave you on this thought. Can you imagine if that ballot initiative had passed requiring $50 million up front every year go to the home or go to the affordable housing, and then you had this retroactive thing on top of it?
Well, I still don't think that would have been in perpetuity. I mean, there would have been lawsuits flying all over the place. I think we would have been screwed with that for 1 year and then never again. Or we could have put on another charter amendment. But yeah, for this year, it would have been horrendous. But I mean, we ended up putting 30 something million toward affordable housing anyway. So we almost did that, you know. So no, it would not. Okay,
I see.
I'm thinking this through out loud. We already put 32 million into affordable housing. So no, I don't think it would have been devastating this 1 year, but in perpetuity, yeah, it would be awful.
Yeah, you don't want anything
I don't
like
know.
That.
I'm kind of like you. I think that black and white law, we should have to pay back the money, but there might be some exception because it would destroy cities. If every city has to do this, I mean, so many cities are going to be unbondable. So the court
right.
might make an exception.
No, that's equitable theories in the law as well as, you know, straight legal interpretations. We will see. Again, that's a real nail biter for a lot of folks. Betsy Sunderman, thank you so much for joining the program this morning. It's a real pleasure talking with you, and I hope we get to talk again soon. And I will, in the meantime, wish you the best of health and have a great weekend.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.